This is the Wonder Life Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter. Each week, I interview game changers, thought leaders, and functional health and wellness experts to inspire us to light up our lives so we can go out and light up this world. You may follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U.
This week, we want to highlight two great brands who will be joining us at the Gut Check Summit and Wonder Life Wellness and Beauty Expo on April 6th. The first is Functional Remedies. Functional Remedies offers the highest quality, full-spectrum, single-origin hemp oil. Their proprietary lipid infusion process preserves natural cellular bonds to deliver a whole plant entourage effect that other hemp oils simply can't match. Functional Remedies hemp oils are never made from concentrate and have been third-party verified to deliver more active, beneficial phytonutrients for optimal wellness. Happy Whole You is Northern Colorado's most advanced alternative wellness clinic. They focus on optimizing brain function and decreasing body inflammation with the most cutting-edge, science-backed, non-invasive technologies available to help individuals achieve their highest state of physical and cognitive performance and emotional well-being. Their mission is to provide a space for people to create the future they desire through effective therapies that maximize health, happiness, and performance. If you want something different, you have to do something different. So go visit Happy Whole You in Fort Collins, and you can see both Happy Whole You and Functional Remedies at the Gut Check Summit and Wonder Life Wellness and Beauty Expo on April 6th. This week on the Wonder Life Podcast, Andrea talks with biological dentist Dr. Sharla Aronson and finds out why your health starts in your mouth. Dr. Aronson shares some great information about balancing our total well-being by paying attention to what is going on inside of our mouths. We are so excited to share this episode and grateful that Dr. Aronson will be joining us at the Gut Check Summit on April 6th.
So where does our health really start, Sharla?
Well, research has been showing us that there is a really close connection and a tie between our mouth health and the health of the rest of our body. So for instance, they have found links between gum disease and everything from cardiovascular disease, stroke, rheumatoid arthritis, Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, obesity, metabolic syndromes, respiratory problems, adverse pregnancy outcomes.
Really?
And
that's insane.
On and on. Yeah.
So why do you think that the mouth has been treated as this separate entity from the rest of our body for so long, and like it doesn't affect everything else that's happening?
I think partially because, you know, long ago they split medicine and dentistry, and sort of the dentists were treated as more of a fixer of teeth, right? And so that was our realm, and that's what we did. But it was just treated separately. It was treated as though the mouth is not connected to the body, which when you say that out loud, doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think a lot of things in medicine from days of old don't make any sense.
Right.
Because I think they were looking, they compartmentalized
yes.
everything, which it's like, well, no.
Right. It is.
I'm not a doctor. P.S. I am so not a doctor.
But it's connected, you know?
So yeah.
That's where everything starts. That's where, when we eat, it enters our body. That's where our gut physically starts, is in the mouth.
Yes.
Digestion starts in the mouth.
So when you talk about, like, we've been obsessing about the microbiome, probably like 90% of the rest of the world. And really, like, I find this to be so fascinating because it's like, it's something that we're ignoring largely. So, you know, I need to go get my checkup once a year or every 6 months. I get my teeth cleaned. And if I have an issue, then I call you.
Right.
But really, like, I could be doing so much more to affect my overall well-being if I did some things just with what's going on in my mouth.
Right. And I think we say, I'm just going to have a cleaning when I see the dentist. And what should really be happening is much more than a cleaning. So a dentist really should be evaluating the health of your tissue. There are indications in your mouth if you have a dysbiosis or a problem with your microbiome.
Wow.
So looking at those things.
What could maybe show up?
A few things. So, you know, cavities actually are typically a dysbiosis. It's when that certain bacteria is too prevalent. Also, if we often will check the tongue, and there shouldn't be any white coating on the tongue. And that white coating can often mean that you have maybe too much yeast. So that balance is off both in your mouth and in your gut. And there's other things that we'll see over time.
That is like so amazing. I know in like Chinese medicine, like that a lot of times they'll look at your tongue.
Yes.
And they can tell like a bunch of stuff happening. Right. Yeah. So how did you even get started on this journey of biological dentistry? And I guess what is biological dentistry? I've honestly never heard of it until I met you.
Right. Great question. So biological dentistry is not a separate specialty. It's really more of a mindset or a philosophy where a biological dentist knows that your mouth is connected to your body. We also know that you are an individual. So we are considering what we're using on you, how we're treating you, all of those things for you individually. And we're trying to pick the least toxic option.
I love that. So it's like, it's functional dentistry, functional medicine for your mouth.
Exactly.
So you're just really helping use more natural things to help bring the mouth and the body into balance.
Correct.
So do you like, so when you say someone has an issue with something going on in their mouth, can they maybe see in other parts of their, you know, health that there's some imbalance? Or is it kind of like a hidden sort of thing? I guess with cardiovascular stuff, you might not know as much, but.
Right. One of the biggest signs that I think we ignore is bleeding gums.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, when you cleaned your ear, it bled, you would be concerned. If your eyes were bleeding, you would be concerned. You'd be at the doctor. But people think bleeding gums are normal, but that's actually a sign. That's a sign of inflammation. That's a sign of gum disease. The problem with gum disease is it doesn't hurt. So it can really just go on and you don't realize it until you go to the dentist or, you know, or a tooth gets loose.
Yeah.
But the problem with gum disease for the rest of your body is that it's a chronic source of inflammation. And you've probably been talking a lot about inflammation.
Yeah.
So it's a hidden source for a lot of people.
That's so interesting. Like I've always had really like mostly pretty good, good mouth stuff going on, good teeth and gums and all that. And I've noticed just like, if there's stuff that's off, I'll feel my gums get inflamed, mm-hmm. or maybe I'll eat something that's like sugar or, you know, more higher on the inflammatory list of foods.
Right.
And I can feel it in my mouth. Now I'm probably psycho and like overly sensitive these days and paying attention too much, but I just think it's really fascinating that if you pay attention,
mm-hmm.
that you know what's going on in there.
Yeah, you do. You'll see signs of stress. You'll see signs of, if your immune system gets down, that's when people will get things like cold sores. So there are definitely signs happening in your mouth if you tune in.
That is so interesting. So there's this, whole debate over fluoride.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. To fluoride, not to fluoride. My instinct tells me not to use fluoride. And then when I was growing up, it was like every time I get my teeth cleaned, I needed to get fluoride. And then I guess, and then it's in the water and that. So what is the deal with freaking fluoride?
Well, as you know, it's a pretty controversial topic. But what the studies show is that it works very well topically. So it's a, topical is the best way for it to be used and incorporated.
So just like on top of the teeth, right. Or like in a toothpaste.
Correct.
Okay.
But it is in our water. And so I think that's where a lot of the controversy lies. Fluoride is kind of the only medicine, if you will, that has been added to water source. And you're medicating the whole population rather than having that medicine prescribed per person.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
what does it even do?
The fluoride.
Yeah.
The fluoride helps the tooth enamel repair itself or harden.
Oh, okay. Harden.
But there are so many sources of fluoride that we're now exposed to, and there's not a good way of seeing if we're getting too much. So organizations like the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, they're doing a lot of studies on fluoride because it is toxic in too high of loads, and we don't know if we're getting too much.
Yeah.
I know for you, I think I've heard you mention
my thyroid. Yeah. Someone told me that fluoride's bad for your thyroid.
Right. So the iodine and fluoride, your body can confuse and it can start displacing the iodine. So really a lot of the functional medicine doctors especially will say, if you have a thyroid problem, you should really avoid fluoride.
Interesting. This is so fascinating. And then what about the whole metal in your mouth thing and having, you know, heavy metal toxicity? I mean, back in the day, all they did was put metal in my mouth, and I'm sure a lot of other people's mouths. And I ended up intuitively getting it out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. I was just like, this, like, get this out. But now I know that I have a heavy metal toxicity as a result, but I didn't even know that that was possible.
Right.
So do you, like, what do you know about that? And do you, what do you do for people? Do you still put metal in people's mouths?
No, I don't. And I think dentistry came from a good place when they started doing that. You know, the only option we had before was pulling teeth or fixing them with gold. So it was either you pull them or they were very expensive to fix. So dentistry came from a good place. But in my opinion, we have better options now. You know, we have resins and composites and porcelain and all those things that I don't see a reason to do that. It's very controversial whether you get an exposure to mercury from those fillings in your mouth. But again, the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology has done a lot of research, and they've demonstrated that just the friction from chewing, the heat from coffee, those kind of things will actually cause mercury to be released from those fillings. And so
that's fascinating.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know that I could say it would be the cause of your, you know, your heavy metals or someone's heavy metals, but it definitely could be contributing. So what we absolutely know is we have a high exposure when those are placed and when they're removed, because that mercury vapor is very dangerous. When we remove an amalgam filling, we drill it out and that vaporizes it.
Yeah.
So that's a situation where it's great to find somebody who can use a protocol that protects you from that exposure. So,
well, God bless whomever took these out. And I honestly don't remember because it's probably been several, but yeah, there was no protocol. And so that's something that people should probably, if you've gotten the metal taken out or you want to get it taken out, go to someone who's going to protect you.
Right.
So the information, so, I mean, I have been talking about my journey and more, you know, I'm just trying to give people information so that if they're on the road, what I found out from one of my people that I see was that, you know, I'm healing my gut. I'm doing everything I need to be doing. That's all great and good. However, there's a heavy metal toxicity and a toxic overload that has created a biofilm in my body. Or there's a biofilm that's built around it. I don't know, because here, back to me, not really knowing what I'm talking about. But from what I'm understanding is that that's in there. Then there's a biofilm that's basically, is basically the security guard, if you will.
Right.
That's hiding this metal in my body. So she's like, listen, you are doing everything you need to do. And she's like, but what's the real issue is that you have this biofilm that's keeping this inside. And so you could be drinking all the bone broth and taking all the this and that and the other to try to be healthier. But like, unless you get this out, you know, it's going to be a problem. And she told me, she's like, when you got those fillings out, she said, you know, they didn't protect you. And so therefore it's a breeding ground for candida, she said. And she said, you know, so basically it was just, you just got a toxic overload. And at some point, I mean, I've had fillings in my mouth since I was 10. I used to eat candy like it was my job.
Right.
So it's been a long time.
Right.
But I'm so thankful to know now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking we can have this conversation.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, for anyone else who's maybe looking to do it, they want to find a dentist who can use a protocol to keep them safe. And the IAOMT has created a protocol. They certify dentists in that because it is more time consuming to put on a rubber dam, to prepare the patient ahead of time. We use a lot of draping. You can protect your hair and your skin and
all those
things because it can go through your skin. It can stick on your hair and then go home with
that. That is crazy. Like it's that, because the mercury is liquid, right?
It's liquid and it can be a vapor. So as you heat it, it vaporizes very easily. It's the only metal that's liquid at room temperature. So that's what makes it really different. And back to your doctor talking to you, you know, sometimes you do need a doctor to help you detox from something.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I talk to my patients about a lot, because they'll say, well, is it going to cause me a problem if I get them out without the protocol? We don't know.
Right. Like it depends on your body at that point in time and what's going on with you.
Right. Toxicity is, I always tell them, you know, we each have a different size bucket that we were born with. And with toxicity, you won't show signs of problems until your bucket overflows.
Mm-hmm.
So Andrea, yours may be, you know, a tiny little coffee cup and someone else's may be a really, really big cup, right?
Yeah.
So you could live the same lifestyle and they can have no problems with the exposures and you could have problems.
Yeah. And I think that like, you know, living a fun, hard, fast life until I had kids and having a good old time. And not that you can't have a good time, but I just think that it, you know, for whatever reason, this is just the journey. And so it's like, I'm trying not to be mad about it. I'm just like, okay. But what I want to do is help people with prevention. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, with my kids, I'm going, okay, well, how can I start? I can work on myself, but like, how can I start with this 7 and 9 year old child? How can I start with them even when they're babies and like making sure that we're doing good things for them? You know, I mean, and you have the American Dental Association has given you all the list of things that you maybe should or should not do. But what do you suggest like for parents who are super busy? It's, you know, we're just trying to brush our own teeth. How do we help our kids, you know, start with good health in general and then really taking care of their mouth?
Well, it's similar to functional medicine. So all the things that they focus on in functional medicine will kind of spill over to good dental health, right? So making sure that the food that they're eating, you want to stay least processed as possible, organic if possible. Lifestyle choices are important. Looking, you know, all those things they talk about, toxins, lifestyle, infection, all of that's super important.
Mm-hmm.
From a just straight dental standpoint, we want to make sure that the biofilm on our teeth is disrupted every day. So that's why it's important to brush and floss your teeth.
Because if it's not, do they set up shop and like start a little town?
Yes, exactly. That's the perfect, they kind of come in and at first it's the good guys that come in. So after 24 hours, it's usually the good guys. They're aerobes. So they thrive on oxygen. They help actually your teeth remineralize themselves. So biofilm is not bad in the mouth. It's when it sits for too long and then it starts becoming the bad guys. And those bad guys, like when you were talking about your gut, they create these protective barriers that make it hard to get to them.
It is so crazy. I've never even heard of these people until recently. I'm like, wait, who's down there? Like,
bad guys move in. So that's really important with kids. A couple of the other things that we're really seeing in dentistry now is the importance of the dental arches, the formation of the arches, and how that impacts the airway. So, you know, a couple of generations ago, even 3-4 generations ago, we didn't have crooked teeth. People didn't have to have their wisdom teeth removed. So there's been a lot of studying on what happened. Part of it is the change in our diet, right? So after the Industrial Revolution, we started having more processed foods and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So they've, and also, breastfeeding kind of fell off for a while there, you know, and that has an impact on the development of the mouth. So with your kids, it's important to kind of assess and see if they're having any problems with those. So, you know, crowded teeth. We like to make sure to check for a tongue tie because that really affects development, again, of those arches.
So I've heard of more kids having tongue ties lately.
Yeah, I think we're looking more.
Okay.
We're realizing how important that is.
Yeah.
Not just for breastfeeding, but even as they get older, and not just for speech.
Yeah.
It helps form the palate.
Okay.
Which is super critical for that airway. So airway medicine is a whole area of dentistry now that that conventional and biologic are all looking at.
Oh, wow.
Because they're starting to see possible ties between, you know, maybe sleep disordered breathing or sleep apnea.
Yes.
And ADD.
Oh, wow.
They see, they haven't completely correlated it yet, but they see that kids with ADD have a much higher percent of sleep apnea.
Really? So that's really interesting.
Yeah. So part of that and within dentistry is they move more toward what they call functional orthodontics. So earlier intervention, not just expanding the teeth, but kind of helping those arches grow appropriately.
I just thought they were double dipping. I'm like, wait, I'm going to have to brace this child twice.
Right. And hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully if they actually get those arches to grow to the right size, you don't have to do that second round of braces later.
So what's really fascinating is we don't come into the world with our palate and our arches already defined. Like it's a process.
Yeah.
It's like as you grow, it grows. And depending on how you're formed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've even the tongue posture is very important.
Where should your tongue be?
Your tongue should be pressed against the top of your palate.
It should be.
Front,
okay.
The teeth.
Okay.
Yeah. So is rather that, than at the floor of your mouth kind of sitting. And really at rest, people should be able to have their lips closed and breathing through their nose easily.
I mean, this mouth, because if the thing does not work, it can really cause a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So just some easy tips and tricks, like, you know, obviously flossing is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. How do you get a child to floss?
It's challenging. I like those little flossers.
The sticks.
Know. Yeah, because then they don't have to get their whole hand in there. A water pick is great, especially with kids if they have braces or really crowded teeth. They kind of enjoy it because it's water. It's fun. And it's a mess, but that's great. And I think, you know, I'm a mom. I have a 1 and a 4-year-old, and it's easy to think I can just let my 4-year-old go brush her teeth by herself. Mm-hmm. I'm busy. But really they don't have the coordination to do that by themselves.
Right.
Till they're 7 or 8.
To like really get into the back.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually do have to help our kids.
Yes.
So if you have a baby, like, do you start with oral hygiene when you have a baby?
Yes. So, you want to start getting them acclimated to brushing. As soon as those first teeth come in, I tell my patients, you know, give them a toothbrush, let them chew on it. They'll watch you brush and they'll kind of want to do it. You definitely go through that toddler stage where it is really hard to get in there. And, you know, you're not going to damage your child by brushing their teeth. Yes, they might be upset about it, but they'll get over it. It's better than having a lot of dental problems pop up that they have to have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in general, like what do you, if you had like 3 things you would tell our people listening just about how to come into some more balance with their, with their total well-being, but where they start in their mouth, what could they do?
I think number one would be don't ignore those bleeding gums.
That's huge.
It is. It is. I mean, the research is extensive on how that relates to chronic diseases. So if that's something that we can control by good oral hygiene, you know, so you may need a dentist to help you get calculus off your teeth and keep them clean and check to make sure everything's good. So I wouldn't ignore that. The second thing I would say is diet.
You know,
dentists have been talking about diet forever, but it's more than just candy and sugar.
Yeah.
Trying to stay away from, of course, sugar, white flour, you know, that simple carbohydrate.
Does it like break down your enamel or?
It feeds the bacteria that cause cavities.
Oh.
So they eat the carbohydrate and then they make acid that dissolves the tooth.
Isn't that cavity. Fascinating.
Yeah.
That's why I got all those cavities. I mean, right. I was eating the Gobstopper like nobody's business and right. a little Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Loved it. It was so fun. We're in a new place, but I came from the depths of a processed bag of garbage. It was awesome.
Exactly. And so, you know, just like with the rest of our health, staying away from that will help your teeth. We were talking about the jaw development.
Yes.
So we want to make sure that we are using our jaws chewing. You should really be chewing, crunching on your food. So we should have, you know, salads and those kind of things. That helps with development as well. The other thing that's kind of interesting with teeth is that they rely on fat-soluble vitamins. So especially vitamin D, vitamin K2, vitamin A. So we have to make sure that we're getting, you know, enough of the healthy fats.
What does K2 do? Because I've heard that you have to take D and K2 together for them to process, and yes. I'm still not clear about the K2.
So vitamin D is what helps us recalcify. But what K2 does is it delivers it. It's the delivery.
Okay.
There's not a good test for knowing if we have enough K2 mm-hmm. In our bloodstream. But they did do some tests on women with like osteoporosis, and they said, okay, well, if we go in calcium and D, their bones should get harder. This was before they discovered K2. And what they found was that without that K2, they started calcifying soft tissue instead of bone.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah. So it's really, really critical. You have to have that K2 with your D.
Okay. I need to order some of that.
Yeah.
So are your teeth, this is like the dumbest question that I may have ever asked anyone, but are your teeth bones?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yes.
For all intents and purposes.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you could tell a lot from someone's I guess the question is, let me ask it as a question. Can you tell a lot about someone's bone density by their teeth, the structure of their teeth, or do those not correlate?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that there's a research study specifically on that, but there is a correlation between osteoporosis and bone loss in the mouth.
Wow.
They don't know. It's kind of a which came first, the chicken or the egg. They don't know.
Yeah.
But you'll definitely see more periodontal disease, which is bone loss in the mouth, with people who have osteoporosis.
That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. This is really like a whole new world, even though we all got a mouth and hopefully have teeth. And if we don't, then that's a whole other story. But I'm really excited. You're going to be at the Gut Check Summit here in about, we're just going to call it almost a month. 3 weeks, just talking more about how health starts in your mouth and what you could do. And just really thrilled to have you. So thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.